Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 12th chapter, verses 1 to 13. Verses 1 and 2. Shri Parayana Vaksha Vishadvajari Samyetam Yoshiru Penajarvan Vait Vasavaganan Hari Samamapayana Vishamarya Kirisha Savabhuta Ganayarvita Sahadevya Yayadasum Yatasthe Madhusudana. Shukadeva Goswami said, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, in the form of a woman, captivated the demons and enabled the demigods to drink the nectar. After hearing of these pastimes, Lord Shiva, who is carried by a bull, went to the place where Madhusudana, the Lord, resides, accompanied by his wife Uma and surrounded by his companions, the ghosts. Lord Shiva went there to see the Lord's form as a woman. Mukam karati vachala dhamman langhete gana Yakipam dhamman bande shivaro dhilacharyam Om adhyana chimedan nasya gyanan chala shalakaya Chikshumiri chamyena chasmai shivare. So let us review. The demons and demigods have come together to churn the ocean of milk. The first thing that was produced was the poison. And Lord Shiva very mercifully drank the poison. And then after that comes chapter 8. And in chapter 8, so many things appear from the ocean. What are some things appeared from the ocean of milk? Yes?
Horse.
Whose horse? Who took the horse?
Bali Maharaj.
Okay. Elephant. Indra, Airavata.
Then
Apsaras came out? Yes.
And Lakshmi Devi.
Lakshmi Devi. The main attraction.
Yes. Who was looking
for
her
husband.
And nobody was perfect.
Nobody was
even
perfect.
Great personalities, even great powerful personalities, they had
some defect. Right.
So then she took Vishnu as
her husband. Ayu Purush.
And then
you want to tell the whole story, okay?
Who?
Dhanvantari came.
Was Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
And the demons took the nectar from his.
The demons snatched the nectar. Okay, Adi Purush.
Eight as far as I remember, eight special mystical jewels were produced.
Eight jewels were produced. Okay. Maivendra?
What's missing?
What's missing, okay. A Surabhi. Surabhi cow. Yes?
Varuni
came out. Did the moon come out here? I don't have it written down. The moon didn't come. Okay. Yeah, I don't have it written. Okay, so chapter 9. And we're going on to chapter 9. So now Mohini Murti appears and snatches, cheats the demons out of the nectar. I have a little excerpt here where Srila Prabhupada compares the book distributors to Mohini Murti. There is a room conversation 1977 in Vrindavan, but it was written up nicely in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's in a letter. After receiving a report from His Holiness Samsaduta Swami from Ceylon, Srila Prabhupada was very encouraged. His Divine Grace said, "This news is ambrosial. You are all Mohini Murti distributing ambrosia. Now you've got the right place to execute your capacity. Do it nicely and Krishna will bless you." So that is Prabhupada compared all the devotees to Mohini Murti, distributing the nectar. And then chapter 10, what happened in chapter 10? In chapter 11? Yes. There was a big fight on the shore of the ocean of milk.
Equals
to equals. Demons and demigods were fighting. On snakes,
deformed bodies,
animals, Mm-hmm.
Timingala fish.
Whales.
Whales.
Yes. Okay, and who won the battle? Who is the winner? Demigods won. And Bali Maharaj actually died in the battle. He was revived. Yes, he lost his life. So I have an interesting thing here about what was going on. According to Skanda Purana, at one point during the fight, Jayanta, the son of Indra, took the pitcher and ran away toward the heavenly planets. Did you know that? The pitcher of nectar. He stole it. Yeah, the son of Indra stole it. He started running, and the demons followed him, and fierce fighting continued. And it says, from time to time, over a period of 12 days of fighting, some of the nectar was spilled, and it fell in four places. On earth, Nasik in Maharashtra, Ujjain in Madhya Pradesh, Haridwar in Allahabad in Uttar Pradesh. So while the fighting was going on, then the nectar was spilling. Some drops spilled on earth. So that's why they have Kumbh Mela. A day in heaven equals 1 year on earth. So to commemorate the auspicious dropping of the nectar on earth, festivals are held at each of these sites once every 12 years. And also every 4 years. In Allahabad, it's 1970. Of course, Allahabad is every year. Allahabad, 1977. Nasik, 1980. Ujjain, 1983. Haridwar, 1986. And then Allahabad again, 1989. And then in 1977, it was a very special year. It only happens every 144 years at this particular time. So this is describing back to Godhead. The same nectar still comes to these sites during certain planetary configurations. Even today, millions of people come to partake of this nectar to become immortal by bathing in the holy rivers and drinking the sacred water. At Nasik, pilgrims bathe in Godavari River, at Ujjain and Kshipra, Haridwar and Ganga and Allahabad, confluence of the Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. So, are we interested to go and bathe at the Prayag and get liberation? No, not Jamashmi says no. Huh? What do you say?
We can go there and preach.
We can go there and preach. Yes, we go there to distribute the nectar, as Srila Prabhupada says. We go there to give the real nectar, and that's the teachings of Lord Krishna. And then people will get real liberation.
What's the benefit of that nectar?
The benefit is you get liberation. You get from means liberation. You moksha. You get moksha. Yeah. Yeah. You get moksha. If you bathe. Is it Adipurush? Do you know more about that? About what is the result of bathing at Prayag during the... No, he doesn't know. Anyway, you get liberation.
What's the result of the nectar that Mohinimurti distributed?
Yeah, so the demigods, they drink it every day to remain immortal.
Does it really bring immortality?
Yeah, relatively. They become relatively immortal. Yeah, so you can be... Perhaps you can also become relatively immortal, like the demigods. Chavanprash, yes, okay. You don't have to go to Allahabad. Just take Chavanprash every day and become immortal. Or Prabhupada, we read a purport where Prabhupada says you drink milk, you'll become immortal. Milk is nectar. Milk is real nectar. If you drink milk, one of the purports of this eighth canto, you will become immortal. So drink your milk today after the breakfast. So now we're going to hear a little... Now there's going to be a break from the story. And we're going to hear a bit more about Mohinimurti. So the last time I was here, we were hearing all these prayers and glorification of Lord Shiva, how he's the supreme and all this. Now this chapter, we'll find out who is actually supreme. Is it Lord Shiva or is it Lord Vishnu? And we'll see that actually Lord Vishnu is supreme because Lord Shiva is going to become bewildered by Mohinimurti. Verse 3. Supreme Personality of Godhead, welcome Lord Shiva and Uma with great respect. And after being seated comfortably, Lord Shiva duly worshipped the Lord and smilingly spoke as follows. Lord Mahadeva said, O chief demigod among the demigods, O all-pervading Lord, Master of the universe, by your energy you are transformed into the creation. You are the root and efficient cause of everything. You are not material. Indeed, you are the supersoul or supreme living force of everything. Therefore, you are Parameshwar, the supreme controller of all controllers. So one word that is going to run through all these verses is cause. Cause and effect. Cause of all causes. So here in the first verse, he starts with this word, cause. Root and efficient cause. What is this root? Here it says the root cause and the efficient cause. Root cause. So what is the root cause? How is the Lord the root cause? Mm-hmm. Okay, the root cause provides the ingredients and the efficient cause puts them together. Yes, Madhavendra?
The root cause is what we call Nimittakaran.
Nimittakaran.
And the efficient cause is Upadankaran.
Upadankaran is Prakriti.
And Pradhan, which is
Pradhan.
Prakriti and Matanda. And the root cause is Mahavishnu.
Mahavishnu. Root cause is Mahavishnu. By his glance. By his glance, and he... Aikshata. He glances over creation and it happens.
What's the source of your phraseology?
What's your reference? It's in, you'll find it in CC. You'll find it in CC.
Nimitta means remote.
Nimitta is remote and Upadan is efficient. So you'll find this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu resides within the material world as a sattva-guna avatar. Lord Shiva is tamaguna avatar. Lord Brahma is rajaguna avatar. But although Lord Vishnu is among them, he is not in the same category. Lord Vishnu is deva-deva, chief of all the demigods. Since Lord Shiva is in this material world, the energy of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu includes Lord Shiva. Lord Vishnu is therefore called Jagat Vyapi, the all-pervading Lord. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Maheshwara, and so people think Lord Shiva is everything. But here, Lord Shiva addresses Lord Vishnu as Jagadisha, Master of the Universe. Lord Shiva is sometimes called Vishveshwara, but here he addresses Lord Vishnu as Jaganmaya, indicating that even Vishveshwara is under Lord Vishnu's control. So all those Shiva worshippers should hear these prayers of Lord Shiva, where he's praying to Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the master of the spiritual world, yet he controls the material world also, stated in Bhagavad Gita. Maya Dakshe Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are also sometimes called Ishvara, but the supreme Ishvara is Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, as stated in Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Supreme Lord is Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Everything in existence works in proper order because of Lord Vishnu. Andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. Even paramanu, the small atoms, work because of Lord Vishnu's presence within them. So this chapter will prove that Lord Vishnu is superior to Lord Shiva. What are some other proofs according in Leelas and different things? We heard one actually in chapter 7. What is a proof that Lord Vishnu is superior to Lord Shiva? Any other proofs? Actually, I read a whole bunch of proofs last week. That Lord Shiva says so, that's proof. Okay, that's what we're hearing right now. Any other? Adi Purush. Lord Vishnu had to save him from Vikasura. And yes?
So there was a fight
Shivajara and Narayanajwara. And the Shivajara lost and surrendered to Krishna. And in the last class, we were discussing one verse. Lord Shiva, after hearing all the prayers of the demigods, he said, yes, I will drink the poison because that will be pleasing to Lord Vishnu. So in that case, he also establishes the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. So there's a commentary by Jiva Goswami. Okay. About verses 4 and 5. So the word deva-deva proves that Lord Vishnu is Bhagavan, and in verse 5 he shows Lord Vishnu is Brahman, Adyantav. Sridhar Swami says, In you, nothing is amazing. It is our mind that is amazed. By the 8 verses implying this, he pleased Lord Hari. So he's going to say 8 verses. In you, the great conjurer, the Supreme Lord, nothing is incompatible, Lord Shiva is saying, but we have come to see, driven by great curiosity. So he addresses the Lord with many names. Deva, Deva. So the Lord may say, well, how am I a Deva? Jagadvyapi, because you pervade the universe. How is that? Jaganmaya, the universe consists of you. Then, am I Pradhan? No, Jagadisha, you are Lord of the universe. And how is that? You are the cause, Hetu, and also the controller, Ishwara, of all. You are Atma, so are different from the inert Pradhan. So the Acharyas, they see all these Sanskrit words. He sees one word leading to the next. Sridhar Swami. So nothing is separate from Krishna, but still we are not pantheists. We are not saying that everything is Krishna, the whole material world is Krishna. Actually, in the purport of one of the Chatushloki verses, verse 35, it's described how he's present in every atom, but he is not visible to the dry speculators. But the mystery is unfolded before the eyes of the pure devotees. And this can be attained only by devotional service. So Lord Shiva is going to describe how Krishna is the source of the material world, how he's within the material world. We heard how he's Bhagavan in verse 4, and now how is he Brahman in verse 5. The manifest, the unmanifest, false ego, and the beginning, maintenance and annihilation of this cosmic manifestation all come from you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because you are the absolute truth, supreme absolute, spirit soul, supreme Brahman, such changes as birth, death, and sustenance do not exist in you. So although everything comes from him, he does not change. Jiva Goswami says that, yes, again, he's Brahman. Sridhar Swami says, by saying the universe consists of me, aren't you saying that by giving rise to the false inert matter, I'm also of the same nature? Actually, the opposite is true. Remember what we heard last time. He's saying, okay, if you're saying the universe consists of me, you're saying that I give rise to matter. But what was he actually saying? Because the universe comes from me, therefore, what? Therefore, yes, non-different. Therefore, the universe is also satyam. It's not mithya. So here he's saying what the other people say, the Mayavadis, that, okay, universe consists of the Lord, therefore he's mithya, therefore a material world is mithya. And the Lord is also, his form is mithya. But actually the opposite is true, because he is satyam, therefore material world is also satyam, because it's coming from him. So Sridhar Swami says, no, being the beginning, middle, and end of the universe, you are Brahman, but for you who are imperishable, there are not such transformations like beginning or middle. The word idam means seen, S-E-E-N. The word aham means seer. Bahir means enjoyable, anyat means enjoyer. And this Brahman, which is the seen and the seer, enjoyable and enjoyed, is you who are truth and the conscious form and pure spirit. Thus, there can be no doubt about anything like changes being present in you. So if my question when I read this just now, I was thinking, so if Krishna is the seer and Krishna is the seen, the Lord is the seer and the Lord is the seen, then what about us? What are we? If he's everything, he's the seer and he's the seen, so where do we fit into the picture here? Well, who are we? What are we? We are the seen, okay. How do we fit in? Yes, Adiprush? We are his particles. Okay. We are also the same nature. Yes. So therefore, we can be the seen, and we can be also, we're part of Krishna. So therefore, we're the seen, but he is still the seer. He's still separate. And so this is very philosophical, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, all these verses. Why is Lord Shiva saying all these verses? Very philosophical verses. Yeah? 10:4, yeah. Okay, our parents is going to lead us to pure bhakti, okay? Hopefully. Yes. Okay. He wants to convince Vishnu to show him the form of a woman. So he's saying all these very philosophical prayers. And hopefully when he sees the form, he won't forget what he said to the Lord about you're this, you're that, you're this Paramatma, you're this. But he will forget, actually. So now, purport after the quote. In other words, the ingredients of the cosmic manifestation also consist of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This does not mean, however, because the ingredients come from him, he is no longer complete. Purnasya purnamadaya purnam eva visheshate. Because he is the complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Thus the Lord is called avyaya, inexhaustible. Unless we accept the absolute truth as achintya, beta, beta, simultaneously one and different, we cannot have a clear conception of the absolute truth. The Lord is the root of everything, aham adirhi devanam. He is the original cause of all devas or demigods, aham sarasya prabhava. Everything emanates from him. In all cases, nominative, objective, positive, negative, and so on, whatever we may conceive of in this entire cosmic manifestation is in fact the Supreme Lord. So if everything is Krishna, Krishna is everything, then why don't people see Krishna? If Krishna is everything and he's everywhere, yes.
Because he's not there.
He's not there for them. Yeah? He's there and he's not there. Goloka eva nivasata kilatma bhuta. Yes, he's also not there. So I have a verse from Prahlad Maharaj, which talks about a little bit what Prabhupada was saying here in the purport about nominative, objective, positive, negative, in all cases, whatever we may conceive of is the Lord. And that verse is 7, 9, 20. Yasmin yato ya hiyena cha yasya yasma yasma yata yaduta yas tvapara parava pava karoti vikaroti pitak svabhava sancha yitas tadakilam havata svarupam. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes material nature influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone, from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. So here is the breakdown, how we are influenced by Krishna's energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. So we have yasmin, in any condition, yataha, because of anything, yarhi, at any time, yena, by anything, yasya, in relationship with anyone, it's Krishna, yasmat, from any cause, it's Krishna, yasmai, unto anyone, you must give it to Krishna, yata, in any manner, yat, whatever it may be, ya, anyone, who, bhavata, surupam, they're all manifestations of your energy. Okay, any other verses which... Okay, so if we know, instead of any other verses, we know now it's yasmin, yarhi, yata, everything is in any condition, it's Krishna is the cause, Krishna is the effect, we should give it all to Krishna, we're parts of Krishna. Therefore then, if you know all this, if you have this knowledge, how do you practically apply this? What do you do, actually? What do you do after knowing, having this knowledge? Yes. We have to worship the source and not worship it. Some people think, well, everything is God, then we worship the dog. Well, it's pantheism. Yes.
Then we completely always think of Krishna.
Okay, therefore, if everything is Krishna, we should always think of Krishna. Everything will remind us of Krishna. Whatever we see in this world, or whatever person, whoever we meet, he'll remind us of Krishna. Yes, Labanglata? Okay, everything should be used in his service. That's the devotee's view, Adi Purush.
We should not exploit anything.
We should not exploit anyone or anything for our own self-interest, because Krishna is everything. Krishna Sarupini, did you have something to say? No. Change your mind. Okay, yes? No. Okay. So let's go on. We're on verse 6. Now, how to see Krishna? Here is the therefore, actually. What happens next? Pure devotees are great saintly persons who desire to achieve the highest goal in life, who are completely free from all material desires for sense gratification, engage constantly in transcendental service of your lotus feet. Let's see what Jiva Goswami says about this. Therefore, the lotus feet of you who manifest in these different ways are worshipable. So then, desiring ultimate auspiciousness, he says this means desiring whatever is suitable for bhakti. He says desireless means desiring nothing but bhakti. So these are the comments by Jiva Goswami. We'll go to the middle of the purport. The only concern of such devotees is moksha, liberation. This moksha does not refer to becoming one with the Supreme like the Mayavadi philosophers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that real moksha means taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. The Lord clearly explained this fact while instructing Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to correct the word mukti pade in Srimad Bhagavatam. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed him, there is no need to correct any word in Srimad Bhagavatam. He explained that mukti pade refers to lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who offers mukti and is therefore called Mukunda. A pure devotee is not concerned with material things. He is not concerned with religiosity, economic development, or sense gratification. He is interested only in serving the lotus feet of the Lord. What verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this?
1048.
Oh yeah, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, yes. I'll actually quote that. I was saying by Lord Chaitanya, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarin. But yes, actually this is the verse that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya wanted to change and which is quoted. I'll sing that verse. Chatirukampam susamikshamano punjala evatma kitam vipakam vivad vapurdir viradan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadayapak. So Prabhupada paraphrases this verse in a purport that the purport is when a devotee is in a calamitous condition, he takes it as a benediction of the Lord and takes responsibility himself for his past misdeeds. Actually, this is a purport of 4.6.45. In such a condition, he offers still more devotional service and is not disturbed. One who lives in such a disposition of mind, engaged in devotional service, is the most eligible candidate for promotion to the spiritual world. So I was actually hearing this verse by Burijan yesterday and today. And it's quite interesting that one I can't remember which commentator was saying that this word jiveta, that all you have to do if you want to get an inheritance from your father, then what is the qualification? You just have to be alive. You just have to jiveta. You just have to be alive to get that inheritance. So we just have to be alive to get the inheritance. But then also, there's three other qualifications in the verse. And the first one is that we have to hope for the Lord's mercy. And then the second one is we tolerate the reactions to our past misdeeds. The third one is we serve. We serve the Supreme Lord, body, mind, and words. And then the fourth one is we remain alive. So hope, tolerate, serve, and remain alive. And we get. And that is actually the secret of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada said. This is very secret. This is the attitude of the devotee, that we simply want, we hope against hope for the mercy of the Lord. We tolerate, we serve, and we remain alive. These four things. This is in a nutshell, behavior of a devotee. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 6th chapter, verses 262-72, this verse is discussed. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was, the verse Tatenu Kampam is discussed. And Lord Chaitanya, in 6.262, he says, why have you changed it to Bhaktipade? What is your intention? Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, the awakening of pure love of Godhead, the result of devotional service, far surpasses liberation from material bondage. For those averse to devotional service, merging into Brahman is a kind of punishment. Even though he's offered all kinds of liberation, devotee does not accept them, pure devotee. He is fully satisfied engaging in service of the Lord. So then, Lord Chaitanya answers, and he gives two answers actually, and one of the answers we heard in the purport. So what was that one answer we heard in the purport? Why don't change the word Muktipade?
Because Muktipade refers to Mukunda.
Refers to Mukunda, good.
He's the one
who takes liberation. Okay, so I'll read what Lord Chaitanya says. Prabhu kahe mukti parer arta arata hoy mukti para shabde sakat ishwara hoy. Lord Chaitanya replied, the word mukti pare has another meaning. Mukti pad directly refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then here is the second meaning. Verse 272, Madhya 6. Mukti pare jashe mukti para kimba navam parata muktir samashai. All kinds of liberation exist under the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is known as Muktipad. So all liberation exists under his feet. Then there's a third meaning. According to another meaning, Mukti is the ninth subject of Bhagavatam, and the Supreme Lord is the shelter of liberation. So three meanings, three reasons why we shouldn't change the word Mukti to Bhakti. And this, the second meaning is that all liberation exists under his lotus feet. So therefore, he's Muktipad. And the third meaning is that Mukti is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the 10 topics, and the shelter of Mukti is Ashray, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So verse 7, Lord Shiva's continuing his prayers. Tam brahma purnam amitam vigunam vishokam anandamatram avikaram ananyamatrant vishvasahetu udayastitisam yamanam atmeshras shatarape shatayanapeksha. My Lord, you are the Supreme Brahman, complete in everything. Being completely spiritual, you are eternal, free from the material modes of nature and full of transcendental bliss. Indeed, for you there is no question of lamentation. Since you are the supreme cause, cause of all causes, nothing can exist without you. Yet we are different from you in a relationship of cause and effect. For in one sense, the cause and effect are different. You are the original cause of creation, manifestation, and annihilation, and you bestow benedictions upon all living entities. Everyone depends upon you for the results of his activities, but you are always independent. Some very nice Sanskrit words, and they all rhyme. Purnam, Amritam, Vigunam, Vishokam, Anandamatram, Avikaram. A lot of nice poetry here in Sanskrit. So I'll say a word and you tell me a verse which explains this word. And the first one is Brahma. You are Supreme Brahman. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitam, Paramam, Bhavan. Okay, Purnam. Yes? Krishna Supiri. Om Purnam, Iram. What comes after that? I forgot. Okay, Om Purnam, Araha, Purnam, Idam. Okay, Amritam, your nectar. Or immortal, or Kavakatam, Ritam. Takta Jivanam. So we are all tapta, we are all suffering the great tapa, the temperature of this material world, heat or cold, but it's scorching. Yes? Amritas chaiva mrityum cha. Krishna says in Gita, I am Amrita, I am nectar, and I am also mrityu. I am death. I am eternity and also death. Amritam, he is nectar. Vigunam. Vigunam. He's Vigunam. Free from the modes. Yes. Amchayo vyabhichayena. That's describing. That's describing his devotee. Well, I guess if the devotee is, then he must be. Okay. Vishokam, no lamentation. No lamentation. Nashochatina kanshi is describing devotee also. I know one too. Which one do you know? Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Amritas. Sukhasya Kantikasya. Okay, that's also Amrita. Amrita and Sukhasya. I was thinking Ishara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha. If he's Ananda, then where is. Can't be any Vishoka. And there's a nice verse from Bhagavatam. Yasyam Vai Shiyamanayam Krishne Paramapurushe. You are Paramapurush, and just by hearing Bhagavatam, then bhakti sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation. Shoka, bhaya, moha. And so how can he have shoka? Ananda matram, always in transcendental bliss. We kind of did that. Ananda mayo vyasat. Avikaram, changeless. Avikaram. Avyaktoyam, achintyoyam. Yes, you told us that. Avikaryoyam, uchite. It's also describing the soul. Avikaram ananya, I guess that's it. Okay. So in this verse, we have verses 7 and 8. They're both talking about achintya-bheda-bheda tattva. But this verse, the difference is emphasized. And in verse 8, the oneness is emphasized. So we heard in the last verses how everything, Krishna is everything. So now he's emphasizing the difference. So we make sure we don't misunderstand. So in the purport, about 7 lines down, the devotee prays, as your devotee is completely free from all desires, your lordship is also completely free from desires. You are fully independent. Although all living entities engage in your service, you do not depend on the service of anyone. Although this material world is created complete by you, everything depends on your sanction. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Matasmriti Gyanam Apohanam Cha. Remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness come from you. Nothing can be done independently, yet you act independently of the service rendered by your servants. Living entities depend on your mercy for liberation, but when you want to give them liberation, you do not depend on anyone else. Indeed, by your causeless mercy, you can give liberation to anyone. Those who receive your mercy are called Kripa Siddha. Kripa Siddha. To reach the platform of perfection takes many, many lives. Bahunam jamanam ante ganavan mam prapadyate. Nonetheless, even without undergoing severe austerities, one can attain perfection by your mercy. So that is our hope against hope, because our sadhana is not perfect, though we're trying anyway. Devotional service, Sri Ram, motivated and free from impediments. Sahaitukiya pratyataya yapmas pasirati. This is the position of nirashisha, or freedom from expectations for results. A pure devotee continuously offers transcendental loving service to you, but you may nonetheless offer mercy to anyone without depending on his service. So what are some examples of Kripa Siddha that we know of? Yes. Bali Maharaj, he is an example of Kripa Siddha. Who else is an example? Immediately attained perfection of pure devotional service. Yes. Me? What? Oh, not me. I'm Narayani Dasi. Okay, Narayani, who? Oh, yes, when she was a small child, age of 4. And. Okay. Yes, he was proving that he's the Supreme Lord and that he could give love of Godhead to anyone immediately. And this 4-year-old child was dancing in ecstasy. Yes.
I was thinking of Kavikarnapur.
He sucked the toe of Lord Chaitanya. Is he the one?
Yes.
Who sucked the toe? Okay. He got.
He wouldn't speak out.
He wouldn't talk.
He hadn't been initiated.
Because he hadn't been initiated yet. Mahabhu gave him initiated by the toe.
By the mantra also.
And the mantra also.
Then he recited it.
Was that the age of 5 or? Yeah, the age of 5. 5, okay. Well, there's 2 more examples. We're going to hear them in a purport in chapter 20 next week. I have this purport here also. two more examples of famous examples of Gajendra. Okay, well, yeah, everyone, he got Kripa Siddha, that's for sure. And there's two very famous ones, and one is Shukadev Goswami. Immediately he attained. He just got out of the womb and he left. And the other one is the wives of the Brahmins in Krishna Lila, Yajnapatnis. So these are the three examples. They were just wives of ordinary Brahmins. And the Brahmins couldn't get the mercy, but the wives got it. So then Bali Maharaj also. Bali Maharaj by the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj is described. And who else? Shukadev Goswami. Kripa Siddha. Yeah, that sounds like Kripa Siddha to me. They didn't do much sadhana. What did they do to deserve it? They got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda's appearance day is coming up, day after tomorrow. So we should try for the mercy on that day. The mercy will be flowing, and we just have to be there to grab it and accept it. Yes?
Service.
He's not dependent on our service. It means he doesn't need it. He doesn't need it to do what he does. He doesn't need our service.
I was thinking of a verse which kind of contradicts that.
Yeah, he doesn't need our service. Prabhupada says we offer fruit, flower, leaf and water, but he's not hungry, really. He's not hungry for that. He's hungry for our devotion. He is hungry. That's his desire. He has that desire that we become devotees and go to him. So, actually, all of us, we all have to become Kripa Siddha in one sense, because our sadhana, well, it always falls short. How does it become perfect? So we do rely on mercy as well. How do we become Kripa Siddha? How do we get this mercy? What is the way of doing this, of getting this mercy? Adipurush. Sadhana, okay. Back to work. Chant your 16 rounds. Yes.
That we have to smear our body.
We have to smear our body with the dust. Okay. Yes.
Otherwise, everything is blocked.
Okay, we have to smear our body with the dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee. Yes.
We have to be right time and right place.
Right place and right time. Right time and right place at the right time. Acha?
No.
Huh? So you were at the right place.
Right place and
right consciousness.
And right.
Correct activities.
Go to Mangalarti, right?
No.
What about chanting Hare Krishna? Okay, so that's good. You explained that to us. Now we know. Being next to a pure devotee, that helps. That helps a lot. That helps a lot, okay. I have a verse here that also gives us another idea. Mukha kavita kore jasabar smarane pango giri lange anta dekke taragane. By remembering the lotus feet of the Panchatattva, a dumb man can become a poet, a lame man can cross mountains, and a blind man can see the stars in the sky. So Prabhupada explains, this is a verse, Adi Lila, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, 8th chapter, verse 5. Prabhupada says, there are three ways for perfection, sadhana siddha, nitya siddha, and kripa siddha. So Kaviraj Goswami stresses here, kripa siddha. And this mercy does not depend on qualifications of a devotee. So we can hope for that. We try our best, but we do need mercy eventually. We need some mercy. So Prabhupada explains what this means, Kripa Siddha. He says, you're trying to earn one lakh of rupees, so that's sadhana siddha. You're working hard to get a lakh. But if somebody is gracious, he can give you, here, take a lakh of rupees, don't work. That's Kripa Siddha. He just gives you the money. Don't work hard, just take it. So if you earn it by your hard labor, that's sadhana, sadhana bhakti. And by grace, by kripa siddha, Prabhupada says those who are kripa siddha, they're more fortunate. This is a room conversation in Bombay, 1977. So let's see. Of course, we emphasize that. But Jiva Goswami is talking more about the philosophy here. How can I, one person, be both Brahman and Bhagavan? This verse answers. By your special portion of unmixed bliss, Ananda Matram, you are known as Brahman. And by your special potency of being the cause of universe, Vishashahetu, you are Bhagavan. So how is it that I am relative? No, you are not relative. The universe is dependent upon you, but you are not dependent upon anything. What appears to the ordinary eyes as creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe only occurs as your lila. That is the meaning. Okay, so this whole creation, maintenance, and destruction is just Krishna's lila. And we're in Krishna's lila, and what is our part to play in Krishna's lila here in this material world? What is the part that we must play in Krishna's lila here?
Well, if we revive our constitutional position as Krishna does, or even better, Krishna das, das, das.
Krishna das, anudas, anudas. We can be that.
We play our part.
Then we're a part of it.
For which we have been designed.
For which the actual part which we're meant to play, yeah. Which for which we have been designed. If we actually act as Krishna das, anudas, anudas. And if we don't serve Krishna, then which part do we play in this lila of Krishna? The shadow part. Yes?
There's no escaping this lila, but there are different kinds of participation. If we are in tamas, we can join the destructive forces.
Okay, if we're in tamas, we can join the destruction part of the lila. And if we're in passion, we can join the creation part. And if we're in goodness, we can help maintain it. And if we're transcendental, we can get out.
We can help those to
get out. We can reclaim. So it's your choice. You want to help with creation, maintenance, destruction, or liberation. Get out. Go back to Godhead and become Krishna conscious. So that is our choice. So here's another Sridhar Swami's comment on this verse. If I'm Brahman, then I'm detached and indifferent. And in this case, what is the use of worshipping my lotus feet? This verse answers, though you are Brahman, you are not overly indifferent. On the contrary, you are the cause of arising and maintenance of the material universe and the Lord of the living entities dependent on it. You are the bestower of their different results. Then the Lord says to him, then I am a king or master who is dependent on his servants and for this reason bestows results on them? No, 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 no. You are anapiksha, independent. So what is the point of being Lord? Then he says, those who are depending upon you for the sake of getting some result perceive you as dependent upon. To show the Lord's independence, Lord Shiva explains how the Lord is Brahman. He's full of nectar, the form of happiness. To show how the Lord is untouched by the sensory happiness, he says, avikaram, eternal, anandamatram, unmixed exclusive bliss. How so? Vishokam, free from grief. How is that? Vigunam, beyond the modes. Also ananyat, other than whom there is nothing. In other words, because of Brahman's non-difference, you are neutral. Then again, to refute that, by pervading everything, the Lord is touched by the different transformations. Lord Shiva says, anyat, you are different from everything, being the cause of all. For you, having this form of all-encompassing spirit, the essence of happiness, there is no dependence on any other entity. Thus, your being the controller, Ishvara, is only for the sake of favoring your devotees and not for any personal gain. So he is the Lord, he is the cause, he is the controller. But what is the motivation of being the Lord and motivation of being the controller? It's just to favor his devotees. Remember the beginning of seventh canto. At the time, favors those in the mode of goodness. And the Lord comes to reclaim, actually, those who are in the mode of goodness. So, therefore, he is favorable to his devotees, and that's the only reason he would want to control anything, just to help his devotees out. That's why he's controlling this world. Yes?
I was thinking even in the to make sense, Narayan tells Yuvashamuni,
yes, In another sense, he is dependent on his. He's completely dependent. And when we hear the Bali Maharaj Leela, we'll find out more about that. How he is complete, in, especially Maharaj Ambarish, the Rasa Muni. I'm completely dependent on my, I have no independence. But Lord Shiva is perceiving from another angle of vision. Yes, he's saying Deva, Deva, Jagatpate. It's from the angle of this material world, someone here in this material world. Then he's not seeing Yashoda Nandana, he's not seeing Nanda Nandana. He's seeing Paramatma, Deva Deva, Jaganmaya, Jagadisha. These are the words he's using to describe the Lord. So therefore, from this angle, he is not independent. I mean, he is independent, sorry. From this angle, the Lord is independent. He's independent of this material world. He has nothing to do. So verse 8, my dear Lord, your Lordship alone is cause and effect. Therefore, although you appear to be two, you are the absolute one. As there is no difference between the gold of a golden ornament and gold in a mine, there is no difference between cause and effect. Both of them are the same. Only because of ignorance do people concoct differences and dualities. You are free from material contamination, and since the entire cosmos is caused by you and cannot exist without you, it is an effect of your transcendental qualities. Thus, a conception that Brahman is true and the world false cannot be maintained. So now he says, yes, okay, verse 7, you're different, but now he's saying, no, you're one, you're actually one. So Lord Shiva says, the conception that Brahman is true and the world false cannot be maintained. So my question is, why? Why not the conception, Brahman satya jagan mitya? Why not? According to this verse. Or why not in any case? Why can't we say that yes, Brahman is true and this world is false? Yes.
Because as you mentioned before, Krishna
I gave it away.
Satyam.
Krishna is satyam, truth. Yes, since he is truth, then how can any emanation, because it's an effect, the world, this material world is an effect of truth, an effect of the Lord, it's an emanation. Therefore, it cannot be mitya. It must also be satyam. An example is, one example is a gold mine. Prabhupada says, a Vaisheshika philosophers, however, this is paragraph 2 near the end, because of their mayavad conception, create differences. They say, Brahma satyam jagan mitya. The absolute truth is real and cosmic manifestation is false. But why should the jagat be considered mitya? Jagat is an emanation from Brahman, therefore jagat is also truth. So that's interesting that Prabhupada says that we are the actual real monists because they have a conception of not oneness. There's a difference between this world and the Lord. So how can they say that they're monists? They're seeing some difference here. They're seeing some duality. We are the real monists because we see everything is one. We see the Lord in this world. It's all Brahman. Everything is Brahman. And they don't see that way. Vaishnavas, therefore, do not consider the jagat to be mitya. Rather, they regard everything as reality in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anasaktasya vishayam yatarham upayunshita nibandha krishna sambandhe Yuktam vairagya mochite, upanchikate abutya, hari sambandhi vastuna, mamukshibi parityago vairagyam, phagukatyate. So these verses by Sri Rupa Goswami give us the essence of a Chintabheda Bheda Tattva. In two words, what is that essence? Yes, yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya is the essence of renunciation. Renunciation in two words, yukta vairagya. And it's the essence of how a devotee should live in this world. The jagat should not be rejected as mitya, it is truth. And the truth is realized when everything is engaged in service of the Lord. A flower accepted for one's sense gratification is material. When the same flower is offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a devotee, it is spiritual. So, speaking of flowers, we have a garland maker here. What is your realization of the difference between the flowers that now you're wearing Samaha flowers on your neck? And what is the difference between those flowers and the flowers you use to make the garland for Krishna? Can you tell us?
Whenever I see flowers, I always think, oh, it's nice to have these flowers to make garlands.
Okay, so whenever you see flowers, you would like to make garlands, make them into garlands and give them to Krishna. Well, that's nice. That's nice. So when you're making the garlands, what do you think?
I think I want better flowers.
You think you want better flowers? Flowers aren't good enough. Yes, these flowers aren't good enough for Krishna. And so sometimes you get from Delhi and sometimes from Bangalore. And the ones from Delhi, they look nice but no smell. What to do? It's Kali Yuga. Yes. Krishna is pure fire. He can purify anything. The flowers become non-different. So if you get the flowers on your neck after Krishna touches them, then you're touching Krishna. Yes. And you get purified. Very good. So when you're making the garlands, you're not thinking, oh, I wish I could smell these flowers. I wish I could have them for myself. You're thinking, oh, how nice it will be to give them to Krishna. And you're thinking to make it beautiful for Krishna. So this is a difference in consciousness. Food taken and cooked for oneself is material. Food cooked for the Supreme Lord is spiritual prasad. This is a question of realization. Actually, everything is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything is spiritual. But those who are not advanced in proper knowledge make distinctions because of the interactions of the three modes of material nature. In this regard, Sri Jiva Goswami says, although the sun is the only light, the sunshine, which is exhibited in seven colors, and the darkness, which is the absence of sunshine, are not different from the sun. For without the existence of the sun, such differentiations cannot exist. There may be varied nomenclatures because of different conditions, but they are all the sun. So isn't that interesting? Here Prabhupada is saying the darkness is the sun, and the sunshine is the sun. It's all one. Whether it's dark or light, it's all the sun. Yes, yes.
It depends on your eyes.
Depends on your eyes.
Because
okay, it's relative.
But anytime.
You can see the sun anytime you want. Okay, so we all need transcendental eyes. So everything is relative. Seeing is relative on the eyes, and your eyes are relative on the sun, and your eyes are also relative to something else that we learned a few chapters back, or sometime I remember it. It's depending on Krishna. If Krishna sees, then we can see. Our eyes are depending on Krishna seeing first. If Krishna is actually seeing, then we can see. If Krishna's not seeing, we can't see also. So all these things we have to consider. The Puranas therefore say, Ekadesha sitasyagni jyotsna vishtarini yata parasya brahmana shakti sitedam akilam jagat. Just as the illumination of a fire which is situated in one place spread all over, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman, are spread all over this universe. Materially, we can directly perceive the sunshine spreading itself according to different names and activities, but ultimately the sun is one. Similarly, sarvam kalvidam brahma, everything is an expansion of the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is everything and He is one without differentiation. There is no existence separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Brija makes an interesting comment on this verse. Yoga means to connect everything with God. Everything must be used in His service. And Srila Prabhupada says that this understanding of the philosophy was a gift of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to use everything in his service. And Prabhupada said that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati first sent his first disciples overseas, or his first disciple, he said that even if you have to cook meat for them, to make them devotees, cook meat. So that was quite a very, what do you call it, broad-minded outlook on preaching. Of course, he didn't have to do that. Someone asked him, well, what about, we may be criticized for this. And Bhaktisiddhanta replied something like, everything is for Krishna, whatever it appears to others, we do it for Krishna. But no cheating. Don't drink water under water on a fast day. In other words, don't abuse the principle of Yukta Vairagya. So I have one, we're talking about, this purport talks about Mayavad philosophers. I think I told this story once before, but here I have it so I can get all the details to you. One time where how Srila Prabhupada defeated a Mayavadi philosopher. This Mayavadi philosopher was a professor at a university, and his complaint to Prabhupada was that we were all just chanting and dancing like sentimentalists, very similar to the criticism of Prakashananda Saraswati. He was, Caltech, California Tech, Caltech University. And he was quoting all these Sanskrit verses, how the highest thing is the formless Brahman. Prabhupada was looking at his Radha Krishna deities, chanting Hare Krishna during the whole time. And he was saying, "Are you finished?" So finally, he was finished. The Prabhupada started quoting from the Puranas. He was quoting from the Vedas. He was quoting from Vedanta, from the Upanishads, Samhitas, one quote after the other, hammering a nail into the ground. And the professor, he was standing, and then he started stooping a little, then he went down to his knees, then he kind of melted into the ground. This is told by Badari Narayan. So then at the end, Prabhupada said, "Do you have any further questions?" The professor said, "Swamiji, can we have kirtan?" This professor, he was criticizing for kirtan, and finally he got the point. Prabhupada told him everything in a language that he could understand. It convinced him that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I have a quote here about Achintya Bhedabheda Tattva, two energies. So just like this verse here, it's quote, Ekadesha Stita Sagnir, illumination of fire. It's in one place, but it's spread all over. So there's two energies coming from fire. One is heat and one is light. So Srila Prabhupada compares the light to the spiritual energy and the heat to the material energy. And this is in a lecture on 7920, Mayapur 76. He says that the spiritual energy is light because you can directly see Krishna, you can talk with him, deal with him. In the material world, there's a heat. You can't really see it, but you can feel it. You can feel his presence by the heat. So these are the two different energies of the Lord, heat and light. So there's commentary on this verse 8 by Srila Swami. How is it possible for one and the same person to be different and also non-different? To remove this doubt, the example is given, you are the cause and effect, dual and non-dual, supreme cause, also one and only. Earrings and other creations are dual forms, and gold in totality is a non-dual oneness. As the gold is one, in the same way in you, there is no material differentiation. Then how the perception of material differences arise? Ajanata, from ignorance. From where does ignorance come? Because the living entity, even though free from material designations, comes in touch with these modes of yours. In this way, material differentiation arises, not on its own. So verse 9. Now we're going to have some different philosophies here. Some of the six darshans. We already heard the Vaisheshika about the atoms. Now we're going to hear the Impersonalist Vedantists, the Mimamsakas, and the Sankhya philosophers, how they see the Supreme Lord. Verse 9. Translation. Those who are known as the impersonalist Vedantists regard you as the impersonal Brahman. Others known as Mimamsaka philosophers regard you as religion. Sankhya philosophers regard you as a transcendental person who is beyond Prakriti and Purusha, who is the controller of even the demigods. Followers of the codes of devotional service known as Pancharatras regard you as being endowed with 9 different potencies. And the Patanjala philosophers, followers of Patanjali Muni, regard you as a supreme, independent personality of Godhead who has no equal or superior. So, we have 5 of the 6 darshans, or 4 of the 6 darshans here. We have the impersonalist Vedantists, Uttara Mimamsa, and they see you as impersonal Brahman. That is their goal, to merge. The Vaisheshikas, they say that originally the universe is a bunch of atoms. Then we have here, and then Nyaya, which is not mentioned here, Gautam Rishi, is Neti Neti, techniques of logic. And then we have here Mimamsika, regard you as religion, Karma Mimamsa, because they think the ultimate is religion. There is no liberation. You simply, the goal of life is to create good karma. So therefore you should be dharmic, be born among the demigods. And then we have the Sankhya Kapila, and this sounds like the actual real Sankhya philosophers, because the atheistic, they don't see the person. They just see the source is Pradhan. They see that Prakriti and Purush, they come from Pradhan. But actually the real Sankhya philosophers like Kapiladeva, they see the transcendental person who is the cause of Prakriti and who is Purush, cause of everything. And then the devotees, what is Adipurush? What is the nine different potencies here? Do you know what that means? I couldn't figure it. Navar. Navanga, that's my first guess. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And then we have the Patanjali, and this sounds like the real yogis, who regard you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, there are many Patanjalis who are impersonalists. Yes. Pancharachas.
I think this is, because I read somewhere, that this is Shravanam Kirtanam Smaranam.
Shravanam Kirtanam. Yeah, that's what we would imagine, or we would guess. What else is nine, besides Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu? Okay, Pancharachas.
Could this be the same thing?
Yes.
Different potencies.
Okay, verse 10. O my Lord, I, who am considered to be the best of the demigods, and Lord Brahma and the great rishis headed by Marichi, are born of the mode of goodness. Nonetheless, we are bewildered by your illusory energy and cannot understand what this creation is. Aside from us, what is to be said of others like the demons and human beings like us, who are in the base modes of material nature, Rajagun and Tamagun? How will they know you? So what hope is there for us if even Lord Shiva cannot know? What is the answer? What is the hope? Even the demigods? Yes? Lavangalata. Kripasiddha. Okay, let's hope to become Kripasiddhas. Yes?
Just Sarvadharma
Pritya. Sarvadharma Pritya. Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Okay, yes. The theme song of some other. Yes? What does he say? Panchartiki Vidhi. It's mentioned in verse 9. So there's our only hope is Panchartiki, because in the age of Kali there are no Brahmins. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everybody is Shudra. So what is the hope? We can't read the Vedas, can't study the Vedas, so therefore Panchartiki Vidhi and Smriti. We go to Bhagavatam, we go to Puranas, we go to Mahabharata for our hope. And the purport, four lines down, Prabhupada says, there are so many philosophers trying to understand the absolute truth. Since they are situated in the base qualities of material nature and are addicted to so many bad habits, like drinking, meat-eating, illicit sex and gambling, how can they conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? For them it is impossible. For the present day, the Panchartiki Vidhi, as enunciated by Narada Muni, is the only hope. Oh, just like I said, only hope. Panchartiki Vidhi. Shrila Rupa Goswami therefore has quoted the following verse from Brahma Yamla. Shuti smriti poranari pancharachari jindina aikantiki hare bhakti patai pakapte. Devotional service of the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures like Upanishads, Puranas, and Narada Pancharatra is simply a necessary disturbance in society. So we'll go a few lines down the purport. In this age of Kali, so many gurus have sprung up. And because they do not refer to the Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchartiki Vidhi, they are creating a great disturbance in the world in regard to understanding the absolute truth. However, those who follow Panchartiki Vidhi under the guidance of a proper spiritual master can understand the absolute truth. So end of purport. Prabhupada says, if one practices bhakti yoga by taking shelter of Vasudeva, Krishna, simply by hearing Vasudeva speak about himself, one can understand everything about him. Indeed, one can understand him completely. What is a verse? There's some verses about hearing. By hearing, we can understand. How is that? Mrityu Shruti Parayana. What is that verse? 13th chapter. Yes, 26th verse. Mrityu, just simply by hearing, even if you don't follow these other paths, and even if we don't, we can't. Even if we try, we can't follow these other paths. So we're just, our process is hearing. What's another verse? Unatasha Shashashtitam. 284. And then the verse I was thinking of is Stanestita Shutikatam Tanuvamanobir. Then if you simply stay in your position and hear, then you will conquer ajita. We heard about ajita. Kurma Rupa was ajita, tortoise. And so we can conquer him by actually hearing about him. So I have a short thing here from Science of Self-Realization. Reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, "Have you ever had people come to you who had previously been involved with a fake guru?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, there are many." "How many of us had a fake guru before we came?" "One, two." "Only two." Americans. Yes, there are many in America. There are so many. So, yes, fake guru. Reporter said, "Were their spiritual lives in any way spoiled by the fake gurus?" Prabhupada said, "No, they were genuinely seeking something spiritual. That was their qualification. God is within everyone's heart. As soon as someone genuinely seeks him, he helps that person find a genuine guru." So thanks for Prabhupada. Thank goodness we found a genuine guru. So I have something here, but I think I'll leave it because we're a little bit short of time. A little story about how the Lord is supreme from Chaitanya Bhagavat. We'll go on and finish these verses, and if there's some time left, then I'll read that. Verse 11. "My Lord, you are the supreme knowledge personified. You know everything about this creation and its beginning, maintenance, and annihilation. You know all the endeavors made by the living entities by which they are either implicated in this material world or liberated from it. As the air enters the vast sky and also enters the bodies of all moving and non-moving entities, you are present everywhere. Therefore, you are the knower of all." So the Prabhupada cites two verses from Brahma Samhita which illuminate Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So these are the two verses he always quotes when you want to hear about Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Eko pyasara chayitum jagaranda koti yachyaktirasti jagaranda chayayaranta andantarasta paramani chayantarastam govindamatipurushantamaham bhajami. I worship personality of Godhead, Govinda, who by one of his plenary portions enters the existence of every universe and every atomic particle and thus manifests his infinite energy unlimitedly throughout the material creation. Ananda chinmaya rasa pati pavitavis taviya eva nija rupa kaya kalabhi goloka eva nivasaya kilatma bhuta govinda mati purushanta mahamajani. I worship Govinda, primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, who embodies the ecstatic potency of Hardini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual rasa. Although Govinda is always present in his abode, Goloka Eva Nivasati, he is simultaneously present everywhere. Nothing is unknown to him, and nothing can be hidden from him. The example given here compares the Lord to the air, which is within the vast sky and within every body, but still is different from everything. So verse 12. My Lord, I have seen all kinds of incarnations you have exhibited by your transcendental qualities. Now that you have appeared as a beautiful young woman, I wish to see that form of your lordship. Verse 13. My Lord, we have come here desiring to see that form of your lordship which you showed to the demons to captivate them completely and in this way enable the demigods to drink nectar. I'm very eager to see that form. So it's a strange request after hearing all these philosophical prayers. Shinji Beta Beta Tattva, and you're everywhere, you're in this, you're in that. I want to see your form as a woman. Well, this is quite the punchline for all these prayers after he offers these very heavy philosophical prayers. That's so you don't get, so we don't fall into Maya, we don't fall into illusion when we see that beautiful form. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments, Hare Purush? Oh, you found the nine potencies. Very good. Who says, who tells us?
That's from
Chaitanya Chitamrita 5, Adi 584. It's just the verse before I read, actually. Adi 584. Okay, let me write that down.
His commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, Shiva Devi Bhushan, said that the divinities are also known by nine names.
Okay, this is Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Baladeva Vibhushan. Commentary, above energies are known by nine names.
Vimala.
Oh, nine names. Okay. Vimala.
Means pure.
Vimala.
Utkarshini.
Utkarshini.
Means elevating.
Elevating.
Jnana.
Jnana.
Kriya.
Kriya.
Yoga.
Yoga.
Prahvi. Prahvi.
Prahvi.
Means modest.
Okay.
Satya.
Satya.
Ishana.
Ishana.
Anugraha,
mercy. Adi, what?
584.
Okay, so these are the nine potencies. Vimala, Karshini, Jnana, Kriya. Okay. So you can write that down for verse 9. Any other comments or questions? Chinti Beta Beta Tattva. So I'll read you this little story. This story shows how even the demigods are bewildered when they're in front of the Supreme Lord. This is a story from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Lila, 13.102. Lord Brahma, Lord Ananta, and Lord Shiva create, maintain, and annihilate innumerable universes. When even they are bewildered before the Lord, then what is surprising if this Brahmana was bewildered? So, oh no, this description is found in Kena Upanishad, or Talavakara Upanishad. Supreme Brahman Vishnu alone gave victory to the demigods in their battle with the demons. By the victory of the Supreme Brahman Vishnu, the demigods became glorious. But due to foolishness, they thought, this is our victory, this is our glory. Supreme Brahman Vishnu understood the foolishness of the demigods and appeared before them as a yaksha, or Gandharva. But even though the demigods saw the Supreme Brahman before them, they nevertheless asked, who is this great personality in the form of a yaksha? They could not clearly understand. They said to Agni, O knower of the Vedas, who is this great personality? You should get to know him fully. Agni said, it will be done. When Agni went before the Supreme Brahman said to Agni, who are you? Agni replied, I am Agni, the celebrated knower of the Vedas. Supreme Brahman said, being so, what power do you have? Agni replied, I can burn to ashes everything within this material world. Supreme Brahman placed a straw before him and said, burn this. Agni went before the straw and was unable to burn it with his entire strength. Being defeated by the Supreme Brahman, Agni returned to the demigods and said, I could not fully understand who this great personality in the form of a yaksha is. Thereafter, the demigod said to Vayu, O Vayu, who is this great personality in the form of a yaksha? You should get to know him fully. Vayu said, it will be done. When Vayu went before the Supreme Brahman said to Vayu, who are you? Vayu replied, I am Vayu, celebrated wind. Supreme Brahman said, being so, what power do you have? Vayu replied, I can blow away anything in this material world. Supreme Brahman placed a straw before him and said, blow this. Vayu went before the straw and was unable to blow it away with his entire strength. Being defeated by the Supreme Brahman, Vayu returned to the demigods and said, I could not fully understand who this great personality in the form of a yaksha is. Thereafter, the demigod said to Indra, O Indra, who is this great personality in the form of a yaksha? You should get to know him fully. Indra said, it will be done. When Indra went before the Supreme Brahman disappeared from his sight. When Indra saw the beautiful golden female form of Uma Devi in the same sky, he went before her and directly asked, "Who is this great personality in the form of a yaksha?" Uma Devi clearly told him, "He is the supreme Brahman, Vishnu. By his victory, you have become victorious." Upon hearing these words of Uma Devi, Indra became fully convinced that he was the supreme Brahman or Vishnu. So what Vishnu has to do to teach the demigods that he is the supreme, so this is one of the things he had to do, is show them who is actually the supreme. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Kanda 13.102. Okay, any more further questions or comments on these verses? Okay, so we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.